So it's... Well, there'll be that. So worry not, all's well with the world. Online at present, speaking from some particular part of the world via her mobile, the genius behind the Spiritus Marketing Awareness Month and the Spiritual Marketing Awareness Month, of which obviously we'll find out as it's taking place throughout October. Sheila Jones, are you there, Sheila?
I am indeed.
Splendid. So I'm looking at the first week roundup for Spiritual Marketing Awareness Month, and I'm seeing interviews with Angela Treat Lyon in Hawaii. I'm seeing interviews with Lynn Serafin, and I'm also seeing interviews with the fabulous Andrea Adler. All of whom, of course, if you want to find out what they were speaking about last year, you can also download from the sort of Sheila Jones section of the southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com site. Or you can go directly to the site, which is here, and you'll get sort of 10-minute little snippets or 9 or 10 minutes or even 5 to 7 minute snippets, etc. How has it been going for yourself, Sheila? And first of all, for the benefit of Jericho and indeed Nick, because I don't know, Nick, do you know what spiritual marketing is all about?
I have no idea.
What do you think it's all about?
Marketing in a spiritual way.
Mm-hmm. Nick, Jericho?
I don't know, maybe she just gets the inspiration from the sky.
It's inspiration from the sky. You see the challenge you're faced with here, Sheila.
It's not for nothing that it's called Spiritual Marketing Awareness Month.
Mm. Mm. So there we are. I think it's time you actually raise that awareness. You shone that light. You provided illumination and clarification.
Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly what we're doing this month. We're talking to some people who have been very active with us all throughout the year and looking back at how things are changing. And how the awareness of spiritual marketing is basically where you are the message, where the message that you send out is authentic to you. It comes from your spirit. It's not affected by your ego. It's not affected by your desires to impress. It's not affected by your desires to collude or to delude people who listen to your message. And when you speak from your heart and when you connect with the people who you want to market to from your heart, great things happen.
So, Nick, you're doing a politics degree. People might say that's the trouble with politics. There's nobody who speaks from their heart. Would you agree or disagree?
I think I'd probably agree with that. I mean, you must have seen that video of Ed Miliband that was going around a while ago where he answered the same question, the same answer, like 4 times, and he clearly prepared in advance what he was going to say, and he just wanted to say that. And I think it would make a big difference, like... people would find it easier to trust politicians if it felt like they were more genuine with what they were saying. Mm.
And, of course, let us not speak about Mervyn King in the Bank of England, but still, you know, challenging times are there. What do you think, Jericho? I mean, you know, from the perspective of a journalism student, I mean, journalism, the inevitable line is you're encouraged to be sceptical and somewhat sort of a little bit, not necessarily cynical, but sort of concerned about things which purport to actually say, yes, this is the real fact, this is the real truth.
I know, because you've got to purely base it on not being biased when you've been a journalist, so you can't really speak from your own point of view or from your heart, so I think you're quite limited and restricted of what you actually you say, because you can't actually view any opinions, really.
Is that a challenge, Sheila, that you're faced with, or is it something which you think, well, I mean, you know, in terms of obviously raising this, because clearly for those people who are connecting and get in and get that concept, and as you mentioned, always spoke about Lynn Serafin and Andrea Adler, Angela Treatline, yeah, I mean, there are names which, if you have an awareness of the whole thing, you'll have a notion of who they are, what they do, what sort of specialities they actually are. But in terms of the broader scope, is that a challenge that you feel you're faced with?
Well, I think that one of the interesting things is that social media is actually forcing businesses to look at this, because the immediacy and the frequency with which companies are having to learn to communicate with their audience through social media is actually bringing out who they are and what their values are. And they're tripping up, because it's not as easy to manage as it was when they did maybe 1 or 2 big messages a year. Now they're having to engage on a much more regular basis, and so they are having to be more congruent with their real message, even if they don't want to be, because that's what's happening. And so I think you're going to find in Lynn Serafin's book, particularly, which is coming out in December, Lynn is talking very much about how companies are being exposed, and I think this is true as well. Their true values, what really matters to them, is exposed by the way they handle social media. They can't manipulate it in the way that you could do with highly orchestrated PR and advertising campaigns, because it's more immediate.
So are you saying, and the shock there, Nick Billis almost forced him to sort of drop his headphones in surprise in terms of that manipulation of social media, amazing. But are you actually saying, Sheila, that when you got a situation like that, that's the blogosphere, the Twitter sphere, the notion of clearly Facebook, clearly Google is sort of moving in, etc., that effectively will usurp any kind of attempts to manage the media?
Yeah, exactly. It's not as easy to do it now.
Nick.
And how they manage it and how they react is actually far more revealing than what they put out in a planned way.
All right. Okay, Nick, thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, I completely agree. I know I for one, have occasionally, in a fit of madness, just posted exactly what I think on Facebook.
Really?
Yeah, I know.
The heck with the whole thing? Would you like to give us an example of that? In terms of
most of it can't be repeated.
Right, okay. Yeah. I mean, because that's the other danger with, as we say, public notions. Now, Jericho, on the other hand, you refuse to go on Facebook. You effectively stepped well away from social media.
That's right, yeah. I don't think people need to know my opinions. And there's enough suffering in it world, isn't it? I need to get them down by moaning about just generalised things that annoy me or that I'm having a cup of tea. I don't think anyone's really interested.
So, as a journalist, and we sent you obviously on your first Southside broadcasting there, I've got a few other things as well lined up for you, which we'll talk about in a few weeks, etc., in terms of things to do, but you were down at Whitby. You could have taken lots of different angles, obviously, on the story that you actually covered, which hopefully eventually we'll see print in the Coastal View and Moore News scenario, but you wouldn't actually get onto Twitter and look at the... You search media? Are you kind of very much an old-school journalist who actually says, right, I've got to do the get to the story and actually do the pieces from there?
I don't know. I could set up a Twitter for professional line of work that way, but I don't really want one for personal view. Like I say, I don't think people are interested in what I'm doing. I'm not particularly interested in what they're doing, to be honest, apart from if it's together a news story or something like that.
Sheila, there's the next generation, you know, two young chaps in their 20s. Excuse me, you're what, 22? 21?
21.
21, and Jericho...
22.
Yeah, exactly. It's all downhill, obviously, from now, as they are males, as we said in the past. But, Sheila, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think you've got to realise, I've had a lot of conversations with a couple of my clients who are considering how to manage social media from their point of view. They're public authorities. And their view is that they have to engage with Twitter and Facebook simply because it is where the people they want to communicate are. But they find it very difficult to find the right tone and the right voice to use because they are used to communicating in a very formal and a very prepared way. Mm. And they find it extremely difficult to, as I say, connect with this immediacy that you get on social media. I think they would delight in not having to go anywhere near it, but they feel that they have to engage on those platforms. And it's interesting because I don't think they bother at all about, or they didn't bother at all about when they sent out press releases and pre-prepared stuff, but when you go on those, you are expected to respond. And it's this response which I think is exposing these people, who people are and who organisations are, right at their core. And it's interesting because somebody like EasyJet, for instance, on Twitter, they have what purports to be a very helpful upline. But actually, if you look at what they're doing on Twitter, what they're doing is they're getting people off Twitter because they do not want to expose themselves on Twitter. If somebody says, oh, God, I'm stuck in the line at EasyJet, another queue, another delay, what they will get is an immediate message to them saying, come and talk to Andy. Here's his telephone number. Here's his email. Anything to get it actually off Twitter. They don't want to communicate on Twitter.
It's a public scenario from the Department of Traumatising News. Certainly if you're an England rugby fan, it's now actually France 19, England 7. Sorry about that.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, well,
that's not good.
It's 5 minutes to go, Sheila. I think it's fair to say there won't be much small people throwing in New Zealand carrying on into the semi-finals, but you never know. That's a different line.
Well, only in frustration.
We're not recommending that, and I have to say Sheila Jones' opinions in terms of sort of throwing an occasional small person does not necessarily reflect those of Southside Broadcasting. One of your clients, Sheila? Moving on, one of your clients, I'm not mentioning names, but they are connected, obviously, with the police scenario from that point of view. Is that something which, again, in terms of public service bodies, you're also faced with in terms of, you know, talking about this? Because, you know, most folk, as you said, will say, well, this is great, this is wonderful, etc. I'll ask you, actually, before we move on to the next question, you know, part of Southside Broadcasting, we have a Twitter account, Southside Broad C. We also have a Facebook account, which we, you know, put regular sort of hyperlinks to stuff which we've published and produced. Is that being managed, or is that a case of we just sort of saying, well, you know, there it is, that's
well,
what we
I
are?
Is that not a case of you want to be where the people who follow you are?
Well, yeah, I think so. I think, well, at least we need to at least have a presence there, shall we say. I'm not sure in terms of the setup and that sort of point of view. Okay, so so what about the public service bodies, of which there are many and of which certainly the last couple of years has seen a sharp decline in confidence in lines such as respect and all sorts of other factors? You know, is that something where... I mean, I'm just reminded insofar as... You know, there's nothing more challenging than somebody who actually attempts to be cool when actually they're anything but. I mean, I'm sure both Nick and Jerry Coo might have encountered the university academic or tutor before they were teacher, and they've thought they were really, yeah, they're nodding and they're really quiet. I just thought, you're not. You are just sad, you know? It's just wrong on a whole range of levels. Is that something which sometimes you're faced with folk who kind of think, well, this is nice, but they sort of try to get all web savvy, etc., and yet actually they've missed the point?
Well, I think what you'll find with the ones who really do want to engage, and then the police themselves, forget about the police authorities that I'm more involved in, but look at the police. What they've done is probably the best way of handling it. What they've done is they have found people, individual people, sometimes they're high up, sometimes they're low down, sometimes they're just the village PC, and they've got them to have individual communications, and they talk about their working life, they talk about... We've had an accident, can anybody help us? They talk about that sort of thing. So they create a very personal body who embraces the whole thing of Twitter or Facebook and communicates with the public as an individual from the organization. And a lot of people do that. A lot of companies will nominate somebody. It might be their CEO. It might be somebody else. With EasyJet, it's one of their service guys. And they will create a human person to represent the company. And that's a good way of doing it if you're not quite sure how to do it.
That bastion and supporter of the BBC, the Daily Mail, and a feature which we'll be coming back to as the morning actually proceeds, has come up with a range of factors, including the notion that Caroline Thompson, who is a major BBC boss, currently picking up £385,000 a year, she was somewhat flustered that effectively she had no idea what a £58,000 a year decision support analyst actually does. This was the Newsnight scenario in which the decision was actually made to employ and use a decision support analyst. Other BBC recent job adverts include decision support manager, thematic advisor, governance, business development manager, media solutions, head of audiences, vision multi-platform, and of course the classic change management lead. The latter one apparently to take responsibility of all aspects of change management concerning the FutureWorks business transformation program. Now, that might be deemed as gobbledygook. I mean, I don't know, Sheila, is that a sort of area we think with the BBC? And clearly, they released something on Thursday which was going to have huge ramifications, potentially, in terms of the salami slicing of BBC Two going mostly onto repeats, and obviously their big changes in terms of radio, which maybe Siren and Southside can step in to fill. I just thought, yeah, it's a possibility. But any thoughts about that in terms of, you know, the sort of the institutional side of things we've got here? Or are you likely to actually employ a decision support analyst?
I actually have absolutely no inclination whatsoever to employ anybody.
I tried. She's rejected my CVs every time. You know, it's all that. Sorry,
Sheila. I know. And again, I think that's interesting because for me, as a business person, I find that the whole scenario all this, you know, whole hierarchy that goes into managing an employed workforce, I just don't go there. I employ people to do specific tasks for specific times, and I find that more cost-effective. I find it more empowering for us both. And I suspect that the waste that goes in managing a large workforce is just unbelievable.
And you will well know, and we can talk about that in your time with various sort of packaging companies as the whole thing proceeds. A bit of a comeback, actually, in Auckland. It's now France 19, England 12. They've now got 90 seconds to go to actually get those other points on the board. Who knows? It's not looking likely, but anyway. Nick, questions you want to put to Sheila? About what we've actually just been talking about, because I mean, it's a kind of area. I know you're looking to work in broadcasting. Your time at Real Radio, etc. Did you find that fruitful, productive? Do you think, yeah, this is what it's all about?
Yeah, it was really, really interesting. I wasn't working as a presenter. Well, I wasn't doing work experience as a presenter. I was doing work experience with the news team, so I was sort of seeing a different side of it to what I usually see. It was really enjoyable. I got to go around and do loads of things. I wasn't really expecting much, but I got to go to a few press conferences. I got to go and, like, get quotes from people on the street, that kind of thing.
Because the very notion of commercial radio and news is often sort of held up to be a bizarre connection, because they tend to be seen as this, very much the sort of the side routines.
Yeah, were allowed, it was 3 minutes of news every hour or something.
Yeah. Well, that's 180 seconds. I mean, it's a big amount, really, from that point of view. Jericho, any questions for Sheila? No. Okay, I think it's interesting. Sheila, in terms of people who actually want to find out more about that, and obviously you can listen again to this particular podcast, which will be live from that point of view, any sort of web addresses you'd like to provide at this stage?
Well, the basis of Spiritus, you can find it at spiritus.co, at Spiritus with the T-U-S on the end, and we're conducting Spiritual Marketing Awareness Month on the Spiritual Marketing blog, which is spiritualmarketing-blog.com.
There we are, you see. Sheila, whereabouts in the world are you speaking to us from today?
From a caravan park at Beedmell, which is just on the east coast, just south of Sea Houses up in Northumberland.
So actually, you're north of the studio as opposed to being south of the studio. You will have passed us by on the road.
I waved as we went past.
Well, there you are. Pleased to see that. So have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today on Southside Broadcasting?
Of course, I'm very delighted that the line held up, because I didn't think it was going to.
Oh, yeah, God. So, well, unlike the England team, we're effectively with the last 30 seconds now still 19-12 down. It's still 19-12 down. So. Anyway, I think Wales got through, so you know, it's obviously become all Welsh people from that point of view. Sheila, I take it you will be back with us again in the very near future?
I would be delighted to, Alex. It's always a pleasure.
Charles Ather of Ather & Co. has important information for anyone injured in an accident at work. Go on, Charles.
Many people don't realise that in law, employers have a huge duty of care. Even if your actions contributed to the accident, you may still be able to claim compensation.
So even if you think you may have been partly to blame...
Yes, talk to us, and we'll be able to advise on whether you have a claim.
Call Middlesbrough 222-575 or text CLAIM to 81400 now. That's CLAIM to 81400 now. Choose the one you know, Ather & Co.